You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another week of the Gym Class. Happy July 17th to you. Hope it is bringing you good tidings. Mark Dukes along with you for the next hour. Scott Unash out for the next couple of days. But I am in the capable hands of Isaac and Jaden. Yes. Isaac, how are you doing today, bud?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Good, good. And as always, we're presented by DuPaco Credit Union, right, Isaac?
Yes, sir. 75 years of service, 75th year this year. As always, thank you to DuPaco.
Indeed. A lot to go over on today's show. You'll have an opportunity to win tickets to the races at Iowa Speedway in Newton, July 22nd. That will include admission to pre- and post-concerts that night with Carrie Underwood and Kenny Chesney. How about that?
Yeah, and that's from Hy-Vee, and that is Saturday's event, as well as you get the race, the Hy-Vee Homefront 250.
And we're going to be giving those tickets away towards the back end of the hour. We're also going to be joined at the bottom of the hour by our basketball contributor, Kevin Lehman, who is kind enough to join us and put an end of an era in perspective. We're also going to discuss such names as Ohtani, Messi, Djokovic, and perhaps a couple others. We'll have state softball and baseball updates as the high school season concludes. But Isaac, hopefully you can indulge me for a minute as I want to pay tribute to a great man. This is personal, but it is also very much connected to those of you out there who knew him or knew of him. I speak of Bob Ask, who died Saturday at the age of 97. And as I reflected on his death, it occurred to me this may be the greatest person I have ever known. Let me explain. In addition to being a teacher, coach, at Jefferson High School, he was a mentor to many. Didn't matter whether you played football, but he was a selfless individual, civic-minded, kind as they come. He made you feel better to be in his presence. Always enjoyed a visit from one of his former athletes or students. Who do you know, for example, that coached in the very first game at Kingston Stadium in the mid-1950s? That was Bob. Who do you know that was part of a coaching staff of three mythical state football championships and on the staff of the first playoff state championship team in 1972 at Jefferson? That was Bob. Sadly, he passed this weekend during the 50th reunion of that 1972 team. Moreover, who do you know that kept a daily diary for from his days in high school to his time near death. I personally witnessed him thumbing through the pages, going to that November 1972 day when Jefferson won the state championship. And he read his entry in a diary. He kept voluminous scrapbooks, old style. Old style. We do this on a computer now. But he had scrapbooks upon scrapbooks in his filing cabinets at his then office at home. He even kept lesson plans. Every lesson plan he ever did as an American studies teacher at Jefferson. His office was chock full of information to which I don't think anybody else can compare. Even into his 90s, with the assistance of his family, he recorded, I believe, a series of 15 videos for YouTube on his life. And then reiterated those lessons when he went into a care facility every Thursday for residents. He was still teaching into his 90s. Who do you know that apprehended a streaker during a football game? That happened in about 2000 when Bob was in attendance for a Jefferson-Washington football game. Streaker was disrupting the Washington band, and he came to the rescue. More than that, he was a church deacon, a Sunday school teacher. He packed more into 97 years than most of us pack into a much shorter life. And I had the opportunity of working with him, editing John Haggerty's book, The History of Jefferson Football. Even in his later years, he was so meticulous and wanted to make sure and get the facts right, the grammar right, on and on and on. To my knowledge, never drank or smoked. And put all this together, and hopefully there's some people listening out there that remember Bob. And he's a local treasure, that's for sure. And many of the reasons, he's the greatest person I've ever known. And Isaac, I know you don't know the man, but thank you for indulging me in that little gospel.
Yeah, of course. I mean, always and always nice to remember, and of course, always thoughts with the family and things like that. So
he had a terrific family. I mean, he was true blue Jefferson, but he had grandkids that went to other local high schools. McDermott girl went to Prairie and on to a college basketball career. And, you know, he was, like I said, civic-minded. He wasn't single-minded just towards Jefferson. So thank you for that. Bob's services are Wednesday visitation tomorrow afternoon. Godspeed, my friend. Should the Angels trade Shohei Ohtani? That's our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. Trade deadline looms August 1st. The question is, would you trade Shohei Ohtani if you were the Angels? Yes or no? And thanks to Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, Steve Anderson and his team doing great work down there. If you own the Angels, Isaac, would you retain Ohtani or would you keep him? 319-366-1600.
It's so tough because how could you trade away such a great player? I mean, a player who is right now regarded as easily the best in the entire sport. And again, I talked about this with Spencer. It sounds so simple to say, well, he's the best player in the sport. Why would you trade him away ever? There's so much more nuance than that. I don't see the Angels making any sort of postseason run. And you might not be able to cash in on him like you would have been able to last season, but you run the risk of letting him go for nothing. And if you're the Angels, that would be disastrous for your franchise, I think.
Yeah, and the problem has been that Mike Trout is out and still is out, which really puts a crimp in the Angels trying to make a run at least a wild card. Right now, the Angels are 3% to make the playoffs. Ohtani, like many other players, want to play for a winner. And he's been stuck with the Angels in that regard. But I can't imagine the price a team will have to pay, whether it's in trade pieces, draft picks, what have you. It's got to be enormous.
Even for just half a season rental, I mean, there's no guarantee that the team that trades for him, he signs an extension with them. I mean, I've been reading a lot about, you know, things like the Yankees or, you know, the Dodgers. And one of the things that I think would be confusing for the Dodgers is right now it's pretty agreed upon that the Dodgers are a very big front runner for him in the offseason. So if I'm the Dodgers, I'm not going to want to trade away a ton of my pieces or my prospects, because there's a high chance that he just comes here for free in the offseason anyway.
Meanwhile, the New York team's floundering, meaning the Yankees and Mets. The Mets reportedly are planning to keep Pete Alonso, making him off limits for other teams. It's going to be fascinating between now and August 1st, which teams are going to be buyers, sellers, and the Ohtani story is at the top of the list. But I don't know if I was the owner, GM of the Angels, what I would do. Is there hope in the future? Trout returns, maybe next year the Angels are contenders. I just don't know. You've got that division, which is, you know, it's very tough. You got Texas and Houston, primo teams. Seattle, one game ahead of the Angels. Angels are right around 500, not doing badly at all. But having to hop to, you know, two or three of those teams now or in the future, it's going to be a task.
Yeah, and you could say the Angels could be one of the teams that are pretty aggressive before the deadline here. I just don't know if there's enough trade pieces out there to really push them into a contender sort of range. I mean, you have the Dodgers, who are predicted to be pretty pretty aggressive, as they always are. I would imagine the Yankees, again, are going to be pretty aggressive. So I just don't know where the Angels really fit into that. And I don't know. I don't like, if I'm the Angels, I don't like the risk of just losing him for nothing when maybe you can get, you know, a couple really good prospects and probably a couple MLB-ready players now for him.
Yeah, you can't let him go to free agency. I mean, then you're getting nothing or very little, depending on the deal. But something to watch between now and August 1. What else did we learn from the MLB weekend? Well, Milwaukee found some pitching, or regained its pitching arms, and kind of handled Cincinnati, and now is two up in the American League Central. The Twins up 2.5 on Cleveland after Cleveland's disastrous series, and Minnesota really eking by three games against Oakland. But I don't know. You know, there's some ebb and flow to this season. You know, out west, there's San Francisco. And we've talked about Arizona, which has led the way most of the way. It's now two games back. But San Francisco always seems to be there.
Yeah, and that's another team that I would imagine would be pretty aggressive before the trade here. The West is pretty close there. Again, you mentioned Arizona has been leading the way. The Dodgers have had a little bit of a are in the lead now. I would imagine the Dodgers probably hold on, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that San Francisco makes a couple deals. I wouldn't imagine Arizona makes any deals, but it's pretty close, getting close out there in the NL West.
Plenty of interesting things to watch between now and August 1st and beyond, including these races. We're going to talk with former major leaguer and former major league coach Cal Eldred on tomorrow's show. Give us his expert perspective. And I think we've got a deadline in the NFL today as well. Isaac, I haven't paid much attention, but it appears Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs have gone unsigned. Is that right?
Yeah, they didn't agree to long-term deals. So they were offered the franchise tag, and today was the deadline for signing that. I know Tony Pollard from the Cowboys, I think it came out that he's planning on playing on the franchise tag. I would imagine both Barkley and Jacobs do not want to play on the tag, especially Jacobs, considering the season he had last year, or Barkley. Barkley was crucial for the Giants last season. So it'll be interesting to see going into mini camps what sort of holdouts they're up for.
Let's move on here. Updates from the state tournaments today. State baseball, North Polk and Kingsley Pearson have moved on. Kingsley Pearson beat South Winneshiek 6-1. State softball tournament, Southeast Polk and Ankeny Centennial advancing in the big class. Someone who does have a deal, Isaac, before we get to the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard and Kevin Lehman, is Messi.
Yeah.
Big doings in Miami last night. As you know, I'm not a huge soccer fan. You're a soccer guy. Tell us why this, you know, I've read the MLS is kind of a retirement league.
Mm-hmm.
But here comes Messi.
Yeah, I think it could. The MLS has to figure out a way to really capitalize on Messi coming to the league. Because you're talking about a player who, in my opinion, is still top five in the world. And he is arguably the most famous player ever. I mean, it's him and Ronaldo. And he's coming off, he just won the World Cup, 8 months ago with Argentina. And he's still at the top of his game. I don't know how. There's a couple things I think MLS will take a look at that could help MLS gain popularity after this signing. One is they've got to get rid of how their salary cap operates. It is very silly when you look at it from a global perspective of how soccer works. It's silly that MLS even has a salary cap in the first place. I think the other thing that MLS will, I don't know if they will take a look at, I hope they take a look at, is promotion relegation. I think MLS has fallen into a little bit of a trap of trying to be like every American sport, when I think that's not the route that would be best for MLS to grow. I think if you were to offer something completely different than all of the other American sports, you would gain a lot more interest than there is right now. Because, I mean, being honest, MLS just is not super popular in the U.S. right now. Even soccer might be a little bit on the come up, but it's not MLS that's popular in the U.S. It's, you know, La Liga in Spain, or it's the Premier League in England, or Bundesliga in Germany. So I think if you were to be very different from other, offer something very different and be completely different from all other American sports. It'd be a lot more interesting to fans like maybe you or fans who aren't traditional soccer fans, where they just want to see what it's like rather than it's just a soccer league that's kind of like an American version.
324 in the gym class, Mark Dukes and Isaac with you today. I thought about this, you know, whether there's a comparison in other sports, and I kind of landed on the LIV golfers jumping ship from the PGA Tour to LIV, but I don't think that's totally comparable. Do you?
No, I don't know if there's any comparison. Again, I think the only thing that could come to mind, and it hasn't happened, would be if someone like LeBron James went over and played basketball in China or in the EuroLeague or something like that, where he's closer to the end of his career and maybe has regressed a little bit, but not, he's still, you know, a top 10, top 15 player in the world. And he went and got a massive contract in China or in a European league, but there's no real way to quantify how big of a move it is for someone as popular and as big as Messi to move to America, where soccer is at best the fourth most popular sport.
Two things that come to mind in regards to Messi are tickets. I know the prices have gone through the roof. And jersey sales. I mean, I don't know how much you'd pay for a Messi.
Yeah, I think it's also part of his contract is he gets a cut of, I believe Adidas is the partner. I could be wrong on that. I believe he gets a cut of jersey sales in Major League Soccer, or maybe it's just for Inter Miami. So he's very incentivized as far as getting a jersey. I will say the Inter Miami jerseys look pretty nice, so I might have to go and add one to my collection.
Where is the closest city that Messi will play in
I believe he plays in Chicago in August, I want to say. I could either Chicago or there's a team in Minnesota or Kansas City.
And action begins next week, I think. Why don't they take a break during the World Cup? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, MLS runs a different schedule than the rest of the world. It's very odd. Like right now is the off season, I guess you want to say, for all of the teams in Europe, and MLS is currently playing. It's a very, it's an odd situation, I think, when you look at as far as player movement goes. Because a lot of players will come and join MLS teams right in the middle of the season, and it's just an interesting thing to see sometimes.
Matt in Fairfax on our text line, 319-366-1600, in regards to the Ohtani discussion. Angels can't afford him. Get something now instead of nothing later. I would agree.
Yeah, it's just too big of a risk to get absolutely nothing for him.
All right, time for our Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. Isaac's going to present that to you. And Emil's out there on the east side, open every day at 4 o'clock, except for Sunday. Great food, great drinks, great patio, great service. Stop in at Emil's whenever you possibly can. Isaac, what's on the scoreboard?
Yeah, so this happened over the weekend. DeAndre Hopkins, he signed with the Tennessee Titans. It's a two-year deal for base salary of $26 million, but up to $32 million with incentives. He chose the Titans. He was closely linked to the Chiefs, Patriots, and Bills. I would have chosen the Chiefs, I think, if you were... I guess it was probably more of a money move over winning move a little bit. Season, let's see, single game tickets for the Iowa football season is go on sale today. Today, donors can buy them. Later this week on Thursday, general public can buy them. And Kids Day at Kinnick will take place on August 12th. There's more time is yet to be announced. That is free to the public. And former Iowa baseball player Adam Mazur called up to the Padres AA team. He's had a 4-1 record with a 2.1 ERA this season in the minors so far.
Yeah, Mazur with a high ceiling, and good to see him moving up. Bottom of the hour has arrived, and we're going to, if Jaden so kindly will, get Kevin Lehman hooked up with us, and Kevin will discuss with us the end of an era when we return on the Gym Class.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we'll have better air quality and nicer feeling conditions outside as we head through the rest of the day. Temperatures are going to be in the mid to upper 70s under sunny skies, and the humidity will be much lower. As we head into tonight, we'll have mostly clear skies, and temperatures will drop down into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, we'll start off sunny. Temperatures climb toward 80, and we'll have some clouds passing through with a slim chance for a few showers in the afternoon. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Welcome to Money Mondays with Farmers State Bank. FSB wants to supercharge your week, so grab your coffee and get ready for a financial jumpstart with these helpful Money Mondays tips from our experts at FSB.
We know you're not a banker, and your life is busy, but you need to take care of those finances too. Hi, I'm Jason Naber with FSB. Our personal bankers are here to help. You might be asking yourself, are all these credit cards I have affecting my credit, and would consolidating them be better for me? Well, what does financial wellness even look like to me? Well, we're happy to work with you and find the perfect products to work towards your financial goals.
Money Mondays, getting your week off and running with intelligent financial advice to help you get ready for what's next. Farmers State Bank, providing you with faster answers, stronger partnerships, and better banking solutions. Explore your future with FSB at myfsbonline.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter Nevada, play from anywhere.
Two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million. Make five picks against the spread each week with quarterly and full season payouts, or join Circa Survivor where you select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all.
$14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Network Computer Solutions, this is Patty.
When you call NCS, Patty answers the phone, looks into your concern, and lets you know how soon one of their local techs will help. It's the human side of IT, and the way Network Computer Solutions has been doing business for 15 years. This high-touch approach makes an uncustomary difference for their customers. See how they can make your business run smoother at ncsei.com. Network Computer Solutions, their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Welcome back to the Gym Class on this July 17th. Hope it's a good one for you. Still ahead, we're going to give away, again, race tickets to the Iowa Speedway for Saturday, July 22nd. That includes the race and pre- and post-concerts. We'll be hooking you up with those tickets towards the end of the hour. Hey, it's July, but we're joined by our hoops expert, Kevin Lehman. How are you, my friend?
Mark, I'm doing well, but it's a sad day around Iowa City and, you know, the hoops family with the loss of a dear friend and one of the great ambassadors for basketball at the University of Iowa, and the loss of Randy Larson over the weekend.
Yeah, Randy, well-known, running the primetime league for about three decades, very tightly intertwined with Iowa basketball. Your remembrances, Kevin?
I tell you, it's been going on for about a week. My friends in the basketball world, guys all over the country now, we've all got a Randy Larson story. Everyone's got a favorite one. Because he came here to Iowa in 1978 to law school, a graduate of Ames and Iowa State, and he kind of took over the old field house and organized all the games. We called him the commish back then, and that's when you had, Stick Vendovic. You just go right down the list of great Iowa players. Mark Gannon, they were all involved in these pickup games, and Randy ran those games himself, and that's eventually what evolved into the primetime league, which he started in 1987. We just started the program with Eldon Miller at UNI, so our guys were in it, and it just became the model for summer leagues because everyone across the country tried to duplicate what Randy did, and nobody could keep theirs going. He did it for 30 years. It was a great for the community to see the new players in the summer. But beyond that, a great friend to myself and a lot of people, Mark. And, the guy, Monica's Restaurant, was his second love behind basketball. And just a guy with a lot of people were polarized by Randy. When he came to town, he had a ponytail, long hair. He was always a chirper when he played. Trash talk better than Larry Bird. And a lot of people wouldn't let in those early games. You're not good enough, you're not going to play. But I tell you what, if you needed something from Randy Larson, he would get it done for you. Whether, I had a son that had some, picked up a DUI in college. Randy took care of it 2 hours away and said, hey, I said, I got to pay you, Larson. He goes, nope, you're a friend. I'm doing this for free. He'd do things like that you didn't know about. But so a big loss for all those that were touched by Randy Larson.
Well, the Primetime League was interesting because it didn't just include Iowa players. It included high school players who were of pretty high talent, Iowa State players, UNI, maybe even some D3, D2 players. How do you think the league benefited not only Iowa, but college basketball in this state?
Well, I can tell you right now, it was a huge benefit for us at Northern Iowa because at that time in 86, our first year at Northern Iowa, we had Nick Nurse and Greg McDermott trying to put a program together that had never won in Division I, had never had a winning record. And our guys played against the Iowa players, Jason Reese. They're going against B.J. Armstrong and Roy Marble. But when we got to play them in a game, our players were not intimidated, so it helped us immensely because they had played against those guys in the summers. But that league was so good. Back then, Mark, when it first started in the early 80s and late 90s, the professional players did not go in the summer like you see in Keegan and Chris Murray with their trainer, nutritionist. They stayed here and played with the current Iowa players. So it was loaded with talent. B.J. Armstrong, Bullard, Roy Marble, I go right down the list, Kevin Gamble, guys that were playing in that primetime league. And then you let guys like Matt Gaten play as a high schooler. I would come and recruit Jeff Settles when I was at Northern Iowa, Clay Edwards, because he always had room for two high school kids on each roster, which was great for those kids to develop and get a chance to see what it's like to play against big-time players.
Well, it also included an interesting dynamic in terms of volunteer coaches. I don't know if you've ever coached in it, but a guy like Ron Novi, just his kids played at Prairie and others. I don't know if I'd want to coach a team like that.
I tell you, I was kind of ambivalent at first because my first year back in 2002, I got back in that noon ball circuit with Randy at North Dodge Athletic Club, and he said, hey, I got to have you coach that prime time. Ron Novi, I think, has got the record for the most games coached other than under Randy. We had a blast doing that. Draft night, sitting in Randy Larson's law office, hashed over names and giving each other crap about who you were drafting, and then going to head-to-head on those two times a week and going to have a beer afterwards. I tell you, it was a lot of fun, and I really missed it when it closed down. And it was exciting too, because you got to see Iowa's newcomers. I remember when Garza came in, and we'd heard about this kid, how good he was. Then you get a chance to see him play, and the crowds when they went to move to North Liberty, air conditioned gym, two gyms, those places were packed. you had to bring in your lawn chair to get a seat because the bleachers were full on some of those games. They were on closed circuit TV. And I'm not kidding. Everyone tried to copy that program at other universities. They had the league in Des Moines that Troy Skinner started, had some success with it, but a lot of them just couldn't keep it going. I think it was because Randy was so good at organizing that. And also, the coaches he picked, he made sure, and Randy always said, you got to play the right way. You got to play basketball the right way. Didn't want one-on-one basketball. So that league really thrived.
Why did the league go away, Kevin?
Oh, what happened, Mark, is the NCAA loosened up the summer, your ability to be with your players in the summer. So, now you can have so many hours of individual workouts, so many hours of team workouts. So it just, I think Coach Jacobson and Fran just thought, hey, it's run its course. We're working with our players X amount of hours per week, and now we're asking them to drive and play in games that they just kind of decided the time had passed. And it was unfortunate because something I really enjoyed. I know Randy loved doing it. He would give his awards out that last game, and he would come to tears. He always gave the Chris Street Award, most inspirational player in summer league, MVPs, and it was really Randy's. It was his baby, and it developed it, and he did the right thing. But Randy was more been about basketball. Good friend of mine. It's been a tough week because we knew this was coming. And emails have been being exchanged back and forth between other friends, and everybody's got a Larson story. He was quite a character, Mark. He was on, he came to town with that ponytail law school. He was on the city council. He was going to be mayor of Iowa City. He had the hot dog stands down at the Fed Ball back in his law school, had his buddies run it, got in the restaurant business. Here was his day. He would play 18 holes of golf. He would play an hour and a half of noon ball. He'd go to court and represent his clients. He'd go run Monica's restaurant. Then he'd have the primetime league. And, of course, he was the head coach at Regina. That was a average day for Randy Larson. This guy had energy that was unbelievable.
That's a full day.
That's a full day. I mean, you talk about it's an end of an era. There will never be another Randy Larson. And the stories of him are so numerous, and there's a great book out by his good friend Ev Cochran, wrote a book years ago that it tells about their exploits in high school. They would jump in a car and drive. And here's one of my favorite stories, Mark. They went to Omaha, or actually to Kansas City, when the old Omaha Kansas City Kings, they wanted to see Pistol Pete Maravich. They somehow got in a freight elevator and got up to Pistol Pete's room, and they had an audience with Pistol Pete for an hour. These guys were high school kids making this trip. There's a million stories like that with Randy and Ev Cochran in the book. It's called Reflections of a Gym Rat, and it's unbelievable stories of what these guys did in their college and high school days.
Well, thanks for the recollections, Kevin. And actual basketball news, JT Rock has reclassified. And he's got, I think, 3 online courses to take and complete. But he's going to be a Cyclone. Immediate impact or redshirt?
Well, I've been reading about him, and a lot of people are thinking it might be redshirted. And there's some questions about, okay, why does he stay and play in high school? It's an interesting, this is a talented young man. 7-footer, can shoot threes, can defend the rim. And also you have an Iowa State with an excellent recruiting class with the guys they've signed. They're adding this to it. So TJ Otzelberger showed us he can build a program with transfers, and now he's got these high school kids coming in. It'd be interesting to see JT Rock because of the portal, what happens in this type of situation because we're seeing so much player movement. But exciting day for Cyclone fans, and they got to add another to a very heralded recruiting class.
All right, Kevin, I got to run, but certainly remember your remembrances of Randy Larson. And if not before, we'll talk to you in the fall.
All right, thanks, Mark. It's a sad day because Randy, at age 67, died way too young, and huge impact,
not only in the basketball community, but just helping people out. He's one of the great ones, and there'll never be another one like Randy. So condolences to his family, and thoughts and prayers are with him.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, guys.
Kevin Lehman, our basketball expert, joining us in July to talk about the life and legacy of Randy Larson. Isaac, right now, I think it's time to give away race tickets.
Yeah, it sounds good to me. Just a couple of notes that I want to make the listeners aware of. One is that it's going to be transferred to you via Ticketmaster. So you have to have a Ticketmaster account. So we'll need your email that is associated with your Ticketmaster account. If you don't have one, I guess make, and you do end up winning, make one very quick after winning, so we can get those tickets to you. And you also have to be available to go on Saturday. We would like to give the tickets to someone who can go. And you cannot have won anything in the past 30 days on the station.
Again, that includes the race on Saturday the 22nd and the pre-race concert with Carrie Underwood and the post-race concert with Kenny Chesney, brought to you by Hy-Vee. Jaden, let's take caller number 6 to win these tickets to Iowa Speedway. We'll be back with the winner and more after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Does your vehicle have over 75,000 miles? Get maximum high-mileage engine protection with Syntec Full Synthetic High-Mileage Motor Oil, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get 5 quarts of Syntec High-Mileage and a MicroGuard Select Oil Filter for just $34.99. Limits apply. Ask for Syntec High-Mileage at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors, Gorilla Glue. Of course. It's incredibly strong and 100% waterproof and bonds, well, virtually everything. While you're at it, look for Gorilla Tape, a heavy-duty double-thick duct tape, and Gorilla Super Glue, great for all your quick fixes and repairs. There's also Gorilla Epoxy, Gorilla Wood Glue, Gorilla Construction Adhesive. Of course. You get it. If you can break it, Gorilla can fix it. For the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Susan has always wanted to live in a chateau.
I like a certain je ne sais quoi.
While Jake is more into the Cape Cod style home.
It's a classic look.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Susan and Jake found a Cape Cod style home where they will only speak French.
Bonjour, je t'aime, merci beaucoup, and cordon bleu.
You'll get better with time.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
MVP's bonus days are back at Lowe's. Find special savings on top brands like DeWalt. Right now, save $60 when you buy a DeWalt impact driver or drill for just $99 each. Plus, MVP's Pro Rewards members will earn 3 times the bonus points when shopping the Pro Zone. Shop in-store and online today. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. DeWalt offer valid 7/17 through 8/2. Bonus points calculated before taxes and fees after applicable discounts if any. Valid through 7/28. Subject to change.
With summer in full swing, now's the perfect time to head to the ballpark. Score great deals on great seats from our friends at Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Every crack of the bat, every diving catch, every heart-pounding play. Experience it live, in person, from the first pitch to the final inning. Vivid Seats has a huge selection of MLB tickets, and they're the only ticket company that rewards your purchases. For the best selection of 2023, shop now. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Gilbert worked in retail and restaurant management for 14 years. It was time for a change.
I recognized where I was at was vulnerable to the whims of the economy.
Then he heard about My Computer Career. Gilbert went for it.
In as little as 7 months, I got all of my certifications at a fraction of a cost for college.
He became an IT pro in just months with zero experience at mycomputercareer.edu.
I can work from anywhere. I have more time for my family as well.
It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
This is one student's experience. Individual results vary.
Welcome back to the gym class. It is coming up on 350 on this July 17th. Isaac and Jaden, do we have the winner of our tickets?
Yes, we do. Looks like our winner today is Mark from Cedar Rapids.
Excellent. Congratulations, Mark. And as I understand it, guys, a pair of tickets each day this week?
Not every day. We have one today through Wednesday, but for each show. So if you missed out on that one, be sure to listen to Todd's show. He'll have one. And if you don't win on Todd's show, no worries. We got three more to give, or I guess technically six more to give on tomorrow for Spencer's on Sports and Gym Class and Todd Brommelkamp show.
Excellent. And please stay tuned for the Todd Brommelkamp show from 4 to 6. Not sure of any guests or anything, but plenty of wit and wisdom on the Todd Brommelkamp show coming up. Isaac, we have not determined whether you're a big tennis fan.
I watch the finals, I guess, is how I would determine it. I don't follow any of the tournaments super close, but once I see, you know, a U.S. Open final, French Open final, maybe not the French Open because that plays at like 6 a.m. or something like that, but if it's a big competition final, I'll usually at least tune in.
Yesterday's match between Djokovic and Alcaraz was one for the books in my mind. I didn't tune in at the beginning, but this match lasted 4 hours and 42 minutes. Now, there's no serve clock in tennis. Nobody really cares how long these games last. In this case, the longer the better. 5 sets, 4 hours and 42 minutes. It was incredible. Djokovic, the four-time defending champ, fell to the 20-year-old Carlos Alcaraz. May represent a changing of the guard. I don't know, but this reminded me of the days gone by when I would get up and watch Borg and McEnroe, or Connors and McEnroe. Borg and Connors, the iconic matches of all time. I don't know what you thought, Isaac, but this is quite a match.
Oh, yeah, it was highly entertaining. I think it was not only interesting because it was ranked one and two in the world there, but also, like you mentioned, it's kind of a changing of the guard. It's the first time that someone's won Wimbledon out of the, it's kind of known as the big four in tennis, which is Federer, who's now retired, Nadal, who is close to the end of his career, Andy Murray, and Djokovic. It's the first time in Alcaraz's life that a winner of Wimbledon was someone other than those four. And yeah, it really is just, tennis is going to go through a big shift in names here in the next couple of years. Again, Federer retired, I think was that last year or the year before. Nadal, unfortunately, has a lot of injuries, and I think he said this might be his last year, either this year or next year. Djokovic is getting up there in age. Andy Murray has lost a lot of his power, it seems like. And it's not only in men's, but also in women's. You know, we've seen Serena retire not too long ago, and Venus obviously wasn't quite on the level of Serena, I don't think, but was still one of the best players in the world for a long time. And yeah, tennis is going to go through, I think, a very big shift here in the next couple of years with some younger guys like Alcaraz, who's 20, really being at the top.
Yeah, his second Grand Slam title in 93-18. Department of Corrections, there is a serve clock because Djokovic got called on it. I missed that. I stand corrected. Still, this is a match that in days gone by was reminiscent of a Yankees-Boston baseball game. 4 hours and 42 minutes, and nobody cared how long it went.
Yeah, I mean, it was just really high level the entire time. And yeah, it's just very interesting in tennis where the length of the match does not seem to matter at all. Like you bring up, the longer the better. If it's especially in a final like that where you have the two best players in the world going against each other, you want it to last for as long as possible, which is, I mean, there's something to be said for that, I suppose.
We have talked today about Ohtani, Messi, Djokovic, a couple other names of note, Rory McIlroy birdied the last two holes to win the Scottish Open yesterday, a prelude to the Open Championship, which is this week. He's got to be one of the favorites. And maybe not the headline in golf, Steph Curry won a golf tournament, a celebrity event, which includes many very, very good players. Steph Curry had an eagle in his third round and ended up finishing it off with an eagle on the 18th. Not sure what this guy can't do.
Yeah, and not only that, he got a hole-in-one, and his reaction was awesome. How would you react if you got a hole-in-one? Do you think you would run down and do the airplane arms like Steph did yesterday, or would you be a little bit more slower as far as that approach goes?
I would not. I've reiterated the story a couple times. My only hole-in-one came in high school. It was a driving rainstorm. On the eighth hole, I had one hole to play. I just wanted to finish. I was happy, but I just wanted to finish.
But yeah,
that was an interesting reaction on the part of Steph. And, you know, if he sets his mind to golf, I'm not sure he can be a PGA Tour player, but he's very skillful.
Yeah, he seems to really like it. I don't know what it is about golf and him, but it just seems to mesh pretty well. I think he said he played it in high school. I could be wrong on that. But yeah, he's pretty high level, so I would imagine maybe by the time his basketball career is done, he could be pretty good in a lot of different celebrity tournaments and stuff like that.
We want to thank Kevin Lehman for hopping on with us and sharing his remembrances of Randy Larson and the Primetime League. Congratulations to Mark, the winner of the Iowa Speedway tickets to July 22nd race and pre- and post-game concerts. Pre- and post-race. It's not a game. Not on a racetrack. But at any rate, congratulations, Mark. More chances to win through this week with not only our show, but Spencer on Sports and the Todd Bromekamp Show. Please stay tuned for Todd's show from 4 to 6. Tomorrow, we will be joined by former Major League player and coach Cal Elder to talk more baseball. Isaac, Jaden, thank you very much, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
Yes, sounds good. Talk to you then. You've been listening to The Gym Class, your home for sports, on KGYM.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts